Thank you, Carol. Good morning. We're all here, aren't we? I guess Gloria didn't get her plane ride out. Yay, we got you one more day. Well, what I have to share to you today is entitled The God Factor, the Holy Spirit in You. You know, when I was at the University of Hawaii, which was, a little while ago, I was doing my field work at Roosevelt High School, right up the street. And I was assigned to go to this career counseling center, and that's where I met Fred. Fred was the staff person for the center, and what he and I would do is we would meet with students and we assess their strengths and their weaknesses, and we would suggest to them various jobs and careers that they might want to go into. And as time went on, as the semester went on, I got to know Fred a little better. I knew that he was retired from the Army. I also knew that he was getting off of a very, very difficult divorce. His wife and newborn child had left Hawaii, and he didn't know where they were. I also, from talking to him, he was a very confident, a very, very prideful man, and he felt in his mind that everything was fine and everything was in control. Every weekend, what Fred would do was, because he didn't drive a car, was that he would catch the bus to bars and clubs and hang out and drink and do whatever he did, and then he would try to find a bus to get home. And that was his weekends. And as I got to know Fred, he found out that I was a Christian. And when it came to Christianity, that's where we agreed to disagree. Because he told me right off from the very get-go, Christianity is for you, Crystal, but it's not for me. And although we considered each other's friends, we just kind of kept Christianity at bay. So at the end of the semester, I bid Roosevelt High School farewell, and to Fred as well. And I was a little disappointed because I wasn't able to convince him to come to church. But in this life of ours, you have to remember that there is always a God factor. So let's pray. Father, we are ready to hear of your message. Use me, Lord, as an instrument that you will be glorified in what is said from this pulpit. We praise you and thank you for the message that you give. What is in Jesus' name, amen. The God factor, the Holy Spirit in you. Some people say that because the Holy Spirit is within every believer, that it should not lay dormant, but we should actually access that power and use the power and harness that power. And I understand that thinking. But what they are really saying is that they want to use the Holy Spirit in their life to maybe do certain things, accomplish certain goals. So is it right, let me ask you, for us to ask to use the Holy Spirit? Is it right for us to aim to harness and use the Holy Spirit? Acts 1:8, let's look at Acts 1:8. And if you ever get a chance to memorize this verse, memorize it, because it'll remind you what it is, what the Holy Spirit is. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit, Scripture tells us today, that it was given to the disciples. They were to receive the Holy Spirit to be God's what? Witnesses. The purpose of being a witness or testifying who God is so that this communication would spread geographically from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Spiritual power or the Holy Spirit, is the divine energy that God expresses in and through us. It is a divine authority in which that person is able to carry out the work that God has called him or her to do, no matter what that work is. Acts 1:8 is the promise of Jesus that every believer shall have this power. In all scripture, every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned, it is always related to witnessing and communicating. Witnessing and communicating. The sharing of the gospel of truth in order that God may be glorified by the leading of the Holy Spirit. God needs to be glorified. So there's some misconceptions, right? The power of the Holy Spirit, some people think, is only given to pastors, missionaries, evangelists, and those who carry the masters of divinity and doctorates of whatever, right? And Sharon Dumas, because she's super smart. Okay. But Acts 1:8 tells us today that the power of the Holy Spirit indwells in every believer, right? He has made the supernatural power available to us. That's you and me. And it is given to us so we can do whatever God has called us to do. Let's get the concept of spiritual power, the Holy Spirit, out of the heavens, out of the hierarchy of, well, who we think has the Holy Spirit. That's something that is far-reaching. And let's bring it back down to the bare minimum understanding that we are all set apart. We are all those who keep the Holy Spirit within us. And it brings us to understand that you as a believer possess this very power in us. 2 Corinthians 4, 6-7 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You, child of God, are a jar of clay." We're jars of clay, and we possess an all-surpassing power of God, which is the Holy Spirit. We're jars of clay. We hold something that's awesome. But there's misunderstandings that people tend to take that attitude that they want to glean or harness the Holy Spirit to use that power. There is nothing scriptural that supports this. Remember, the Spirit of God came to dwell in us in order that he might have full possession of us. And instead of the Spirit being used by us, he came so that he could use you. He could use you. The Spirit came to indwell in us, released through the life of Jesus, to carry out the work God has called us to do. It's not about us and grabbing the Holy Spirit or tapping into that resource. The Holy Spirit already lives in you. We need to understand that it's about God using you, not you using God. The power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is related to the ministry. It's related to the service. It's related to the witness of the gospel of Jesus. You will hear and see people preach about the power of God, but you have to be careful. There are people who have personalities and great charisma. Oh, that's the thing that says, "Want you. Jesus wants to use you." That's all good. There are people who have personalities and charisma, and they use psychology to draw people to think that they're powerful in the Holy Spirit, but really they're pointing to themselves. That they do great things because it's the Holy Spirit, but they're saying that, but the intent is to draw attention to themselves, which has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Anything that glorifies man is not of God. Anything that points to man and his abilities and his talents, his charisma, it is flesh and not of God. Anything God is up to will glorify him. Only God can can perform miracles. Only God can answer prayers. Only God can forgive sins. Only God can heal you. Man is just a vessel. We're just vessels whom the supernatural Spirit of God flows in and through. And he only flows through that which is clean, pure, submissive, and obedient to him. Without Jesus, I tell you, we have no chance of possessing the Holy Spirit. Without Jesus, there's no way. God brought Jesus. He came into the world, washed us anew, and we became submissive and obedient, and that's when the Spirit came and flowed through you. You will not believe or understand the things God has in store in you when you obey God and allow the Spirit to flow. We have to play a part, though. God is in the miraculous. And he can do some awesome things through you, but we have to meet him halfway. We have to play a part. And that's something we don't like to talk about, but it's called obedience. Obedience. Remember, the Spirit of God flows through one who is obedient. No obedience, no flow. Obedience is like a big wall. It'll stop everything. Because God can't use someone who doesn't really want to do what God wants. You got to get with the program. You got to want what God wants, right? Moment by moment, walking with him, thinking of his word, praying and meditating on the things of God, you're dependent on him. You seek his ways, not your ways, and you're sensitive to the prompting and the leading of God. Most people don't know their awesome potential if they are filled with the Spirit, and they allow the power to flow through if they allow the power to flow through them. The Spirit flowing through you will enable you to make good and righteous decisions. How about that? Wouldn't you want to make good decisions for you and those around you? It'll help you to also recognize those in need and give you opportunity to give assistance. It'll enable you to love the unlovely, and it'll even empower you to forgive the worst offense, just to name a few. Let's look at Jesus' example. In Luke 4, verses 18 to 19, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So this scripture tells us that even Jesus had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he knew that the power was available to him. But he also knew that the power was not to give him a life of ease and not give him comfort or pleasure or prosperity. He was there to serve the Father. The Spirit was given to him to serve the Father. And he came to be the ransom for many. He was all sufficient to do the sacrifice that was intended for your sin. For you and me. But God equipped him to do what God had called him to do, and that was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There is not a single one of us that is not fully equipped by the Holy Spirit's power to do everything God wants us to do. If we choose to be obedient to him. So let's exercise the power of the Holy Spirit. And in and through our lives so that God can be glorified through us. Yes, here today, even in First Baptist Church of Honolulu, let's exercise the Holy Spirit. Let's be the people that God wants us to be. Don't you just love that picture? We're all smiling. Now, I've been in this church, gosh, since the 1980s, which is almost 40 years, maybe? And there are several things that I'm thankful for our church for. Number one, the Word of God is always preached from this pulpit. Always. Number two, there are always opportunities for us to serve. Always. Number three, people in this church are very loving and caring. They shine most when you're going through something. And I have experienced that myself. The Holy Spirit has been walking in vessels, in and out of these doors for years, indwelled in the hearts of our believers. We come in and we get our reminders, we sing our songs, and we get our reminders from the pulpit of who we are in Christ. We get all energized, and then we go out and we share the gospel with the word. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. That's why the Holy Spirit was given to you, was that we come together and we talk about the things of God and we communicate it out to others. We are the church of changed lives. Lives indwelled with the Spirit of God, changing lives. We're changed lives, changing lives. And I found Fred on Facebook. You know, I hadn't seen him for like almost 40 years. I found him on Facebook a few years ago. And last year I was able to travel on a business trip and see him. And we went to the Billy Graham Library. And we had a meal together. And it was just mind-blowing to see what God did in his life. Grace, you got that video?
Here in Hollywood First Baptist Church. My name is Greg
I tell Fred, stop calling me an angel. That's so shame. I'm so ashamed. Do it again. I kept making it do it again. But the reason why I brought Fred up is because I want you to know that the Holy Spirit in you, you never know. You never know who you're impacting or what you're doing. You know, I was just a UH student going, Jesus loves you. And I was like all crazy for Jesus. And I didn't care who. And I like, come to Bible study. And, you know, but, you know, God uses everything that you are, everything that you become as a Christian to drop seeds here and there, water the seeds. Don't ever think coming to church is for nothing. God has a plan for you to be in here because the Holy Spirit has a reason for you to be here. And God has a plan for you to go out and communicate the Word of God and do exactly what He had planned for you. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank You for Your Spirit. Your Spirit just flows in this place. And I know that You have a great plan for this little church on the corner with a big heart. And we know it's unseen, the things that You are doing through us. And let us never be discouraged that this church is a thriving church because its people thrive for You. And Father, we anticipate great and mighty things to come through this church and through Your people. So call unto us now, Lord. Let us be reminded that You are the God that doesn't make junk, that You are the God that puts purpose in our life, and You are the God of hope for the future. We praise You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with our hymn. What is our hymn, Carol? This is My Father's World. I love this song. That's why you're singing all the old songs. If you could stand and we'll sing the closing hymn and I'll give you your benediction.